the changing isn't free. You read it in the tea leaves and the cracks are on TV. Beware the savage jaw of 1984. They'll split your pretty cranium and fill it full of air and tell you that you're made
good afternoon, everyone. And welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Monday, May 10, 2021. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone RBN is listener-supported, folks. Please donate whatever is manageable. No donation is too small. Free speech simply cannot stay alive without being funded by we, the people. Please help ensure that RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. And right now, with every $100 donation, you can have your choice of an RBN high-quality t-shirt in the size of your choice or an RBN coffee mug. All supplies last. And there are many ways to donate. You can use PayPal on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. You can call in to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can mail in your donation, cash, check, money order, to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. There's a chat room for those who'd like to engage in respectful, constructive debate. You can find that chat room at beyondton.chatango.com. And I have my Monday co-host, my regular Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson, here with me, Irishman residing just outside of London proper. Hello, Paul. How you doing today?
Great, Richard. It's great to be with you.
Excellent. Yes, always great to have you here. And I really enjoyed your broadcast a bit earlier today, actually. A lot of interesting information. I mean, well, near the end, you covered the shots and the danger of these gene-altering shots. I'd like to touch on that a bit here today as well. But you were covering a lot more on the economic unsustainability.
Circus.
Yes. A lot of good information from some of the clips you've been playing in recent weeks there on your show Revelation on Revision Media, revisionmedia.org. And you, the whole debate over whether or not this is transitory is a hot button phrase.
Yeah, transitory, yeah. I mean, it literally is like economic gaslighting that's going on. You've got Biden and the Biden administration and Jerome Powell, and you've got Janet Yellen. It's just absurdity to levels that you wouldn't think possible. To, for example, Janet Yellen was asked the question if they saw, if they saw any link between the unprecedented amount of stimulus checks being sent out to U.S. citizens and the dire jobs, situation that was revealed last week. And they said, oh, no, we can't possibly see it. Couldn't possibly be any connection with the fact that we're paying people more to stay at home than working. And the job reports being as, dreadful as they were. This type of nonsense, I mean, it's so obvious. And it's so obvious that they're lying. Nobody could be that stupid. I mean, I know they're Keynesian economics and they believe in all this nonsense in the first place, or they say they do. But It's economic nonsense, and it's something as obvious as that. I mean, if you're going to pay people more money to sit at home than to work, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to have a lot of people who are not working, I mean, it's not rocket science. And then to say that inflation is transitory, that is just total BS as well. Inflation is here to stay because, as I said on the show, inflation is an expansion of the money supply, and the rising prices are then a consequence and a symptom of that. And you're now seeing the beginning of those rises in prices. You're seeing them at the supermarkets. You're seeing them in lumber. You're seeing them in the commodities, particularly things like copper, uranium, gold and silver rose up a little bit last week. Wheat, corn, you name it, it's all going up. And that's a direct result of the expansion of the money supply. So to say that's transitory, how can they say that? How are they going to reverse it? What are they going to do to be able to reverse it? They can't do anything. They've backed themselves into a corner. There's nothing they can do. And I think those of us who are more conspiratorial, looking at the larger picture, it was always intended that way. Anyway, these are the final throws of just the devouring of whatever meat is left on the bones of the United States. That's what's happening with these central banks. It's a looting operation, it's a wealth transfer, and it's just mass theft in broad daylight. That's what's going on, and most people are totally oblivious to it. But they're going to get a very rude awakening because this thing is just unsustainable. And when it crashes, it's going to be very ugly.
That's why I always mention how it's ridiculous over here, how much people don't even realize the Federal Reserve is not federal, is illegitimate from its onset, and it should be dissolved, destroyed completely. I mean, people talk about the Fed should do this, the Fed should do that, but yeah, most ordinary citizens out there, if they were all properly informed on the history of the first and second banks of the United States, followed by the Federal Reserve, being illegitimate private entities, which basically interest rate us to death, where it's impossible, of course, without creating any money other than the principal loaned to ever make up that debt. So it's a Ponzi scheme, first and foremost, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and it's a very parasitic system as well. And it's responsible in no small part in collusion with the media for a lot of the wars. I mean, World War II and World War I as well. Those wars were avoidable, and if there's a World War III, that will be avoidable as well. But you know, it's big money, to fund these wars. And I don't think it's any coincidence that in 1913 the Federal Reserve Act was passed. Paul Warburg was the architect of that. He was a German banker from Kuhn-Loeb & Company, a Jewish as well. And 1914, you had World War I. And at one point, there were so many young white European men who had died in that war that it was something like six women for every man in Europe at the end of World War I. That's how bad it was. That's how many young Europeans perished as a result of that war. So the Federal Reserve and these central banks, the damage they cause is to say it's extensive. You cannot underestimate the actual destruction that the Federal Reserve caused. And people like Bernanke and Yellen, and these people are enemies of the United States, and they are parasites, and they ought to be arrested. But they've sewn up so many of the institutions. They've got so many politicians, so many media mouthpieces bought and paid for, that's unlikely to happen. But these people are, make no mistake about it, are part of a criminal syndicate that is basically raping and pillaging the United States and the Western nations today, particularly.
And I must admit, I am only minimally informed on the true nature of a lot of this. Just like the tax code, everything with the Fed is intentionally complicated to be difficult to see it for what it truly is, to put it simply. So, I mean, maybe you could explain this better. I've always not even been completely sure, how I would explain it to someone else, what it literally means when they talk about raising rates or lowering rates. The Fed. I mean, I understand in the general sense, but more specifically, what exact rates is it for the money they are lending to the U.S. that year, the interest rate?
Yeah, and so when you have 0% interest rates, what happens is that's how they facilitate these bubbles, because it's cheap money. And what happens is the debt just keeps rising, and you have all these bubbles because you've got all this money everywhere, and most of it's just been printed. And to get this back into balance, you would have to increase the rates. Paul Volcker did this at the end of the 70s in 1980, but he had to raise the rates to 20% at that time to bring equilibrium back to the United States economy after the disaster, which was the 70s.
I'm sorry, I still don't understand. I still don't understand. Because, I mean, when I think of when you say raising the rates, I'm thinking of the amount of interest that no money is going to be created to ever pay back for the money created that year. Is that correct?
Sorry, say that again, Richard.
Is it the actual interest the U.S. owes the Fed for the money they created and loaned to them that year? Is that what the rates they're referring to are?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what it is.
So why would it be beneficial to get up to like 20% interest when we can't even pay like 1% interest because that money is never created?
It's painful, but you're paying off the debt, you see. It's like, say you get a credit card.
Okay, so it's how much of the total, not just from that year, but the overall interest you've accrued over the years, how much of it you have to pay back minimum during that next following year?
Yeah, because
I think I have a grasp of it more now.
Think about it like a credit card, almost.
Right, it's not just the interest created that year, it's the interest of all time, a percentage of that.
Yeah, which, so it goes into the national debt. But, so...
They change how much beyond the principal has to be repaid in a given year.
Yeah, and if you've got all these 0% interest rates everywhere, people just borrow more money all the time, and it's exactly the same. If you've got a credit card and your credit rating's good enough, then you're going to find yourself in a position where you're tempted to borrow money.
So it is getting paid. So some of it. I'm sorry to interrupt. I mean, it's more is always created than what is paid back. But then some of the interest is actually paid back each year.
Well,
I was under the impression they didn't even have enough money to.
Well, so the United States taxpayer will have to pay any of it back. But at the end of the day, the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government they couldn't possibly collect in taxes what would be necessary to pay off that debt. And
I'm just largely going off what Michael Rivero on RBN Midday will usually. Phrase it as when he describes it that, I mean, there's not enough money created other than the principal that is loaned. So in theory, how could you pay any of the interest back on any given year? Because that money wasn't even created. Or am I not quite thinking of it properly?
Well, the Federal Reserve create the money, and then it's the U.S. government that owe the money. But the U.S. government, the only way legitimately they can collect money is from taxing the citizenry. It's the same over here.
I just thought they just kept adding on to the tab each year with raising the rates, raising what interest, you know, is on the total that they owe. But they're never really in a state to be able to start paying it back.
Yeah, because they can't raise interest because the whole thing would implode. It's like if you've got a credit card of £1,000, right, and you have to pay 2% back in interest, that's manageable. But if you find yourself, well, you've got £100,000 worth in a credit card, right? And then your credit card company tells you, okay, this is getting a bit out of hand here. We're going to have to raise the interest rate so you can pay off the debt to 10%. Then you're now in a position where you're over-leveraged and you're struggling because you're not earning enough money to cover it. And you might, for example, end up getting another credit card to pay off that. And that's what the Federal Reserve are doing with all the buying up all the bonds and stuff like that. They're monetizing the debt. So in other words, they're creating money to pay off debt.
So they're just, I mean...
It's an abomination.
Okay, the debt keeps rising every year. It doesn't seem like we're making any headway at paying any of it off, is my point. So it seems like just the principal, if anything, is getting paid back in a, you know, within any time frame.
Yeah, and so rather than because it's very, very unattractive, let's say, for a politician to want to suggest that you get this thing under control by raising interest rates.
Raising interest rates meaning that they have to actually pay some of that back.
Yeah. You start collecting on the debt, basically. You'd have to raise it significantly, like Volcker did in the early 1980s, to a significant level so you can bring the thing back under control.
But what is it now? Is it in the trillions in the U.S.?
Yeah. So, and you have, it's 20,
I mean, anyone have a calculator handy? I mean, come on. How long would that take?
Exactly. And that's the whole point. You see, you've only got two options when you have a situation like that. You either default on the debt, which is a more honest, way of doing things, or you just keep printing. It's like the credit card guy just keeps getting more credit and more credit and more credit and more credit. And he just, or it's like a drug addict who never wants to face the hangover. And the more drugs he takes, the harder the withdrawal is going to be. And the guy just decides that he's never going to withdraw, and he's just committed to taking as much cocaine as possible. That's the analogy I would use. So what's going to happen is he's going to die. So you're going to have a similar sort of death, you know, to the actual U.S. economic system, which will be the collapse of the dollar, and then they'll bring in this great reset thing. So that's why I think it's deliberate, and people are so dumbed down and so ignorant they don't care, and it's just like they'll end up just destroying the currency and all the suffering that comes with it, and then they'll bring in this digital currency, and the whole thing is just based on absolute confidence, and it's completely against the natural order of economics and supply and demand. It's just debt bubbles everywhere, which will ultimately just be – they'll inflate the debt away.
It reminds me a lot of mafia with protection money being paid so they don't smash up your store. Anyone who tries to get out of the grips of these central banks, I mean, you know, people get suicided. All the time. I mean, this is a thing. So it's, you know, you'll keep using this if you know what's good for you, even though it's harming you excessively, just like that person peddling hard drugs, like you said.
Yeah. But of course, I can see a scenario where the Great Reset would be a wonderful thing. But my version of the Great Reset and the actual Great Reset that they're talking about are two very different things. My version of a Great Reset would be to rid the West of Jewish banking influence and their media. That would be the greatest reset, if people actually identify and say enough is enough, because when the suffering's bad enough, that's when people might start looking at this and saying, who is doing this? How did this happen? And those are the two big things. The central banks and the media, the lending and the lies. Those are the two big things, and those are the two big things that have always been identified as the biggest problem with Jewish influence down through history. Those are the two key things. It's not the only things, but those are the two big ones.
If we could have a private central bank yellow vest movement, which could be much like what Adolf Hitler in Germany or Gaddafi in Libya had done, but all nations simultaneously, I mean, what could stop that if you could really get it going?
Yeah, well, again, you know, ignorance is a big part of it, and having the will, because, you know, that would be a very dangerous thing, you know, because they have sewn up a lot of the institutions, and you can get in trouble for even, you know, talking about such things, as you well know. And the reason they do that, of course, is because they're scared. So they're preoccupied to the point of obsession with silencing people for their own safety. That's what all this online censorship and stuff, they just to keep it silent because they're terrified, really. They know that what they're operating in is sheer audacity. And if people really get wind of it, they'll be in trouble.
For sure. I think that's a good breakdown out there. I mean, for those out there, you know, or those who might want to share the archive, just for people who don't get just the true nature of the economic loophole. Yes, carnage, loophole.
And theft. It's theft, really, you know.
Pure theft. Decrepit system, and they like it that way. Well, stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting. involving the energy planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Back, folks. Beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting, here with my Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson. And so, we should open the phones, I suppose, if anyone wants to call in with their 2 cents today. 512-248-8252. That number again, 512-248-8252. So, I don't know, what else to... did you want to bring up, Paul? I know we wanted to get to those shots a little bit in the discussion.
Yeah. Now, the thing that you were talking about is Mike Yeadon, who's an ex, I think he was an ex, he was quite high up anyway in Pfizer, who obviously is one of the pharmaceutical companies making these vaccines. He reported that the U.S. VAERS reporting system is, quote, telling us that almost 99% of the deaths reported to VAERS after vaccination occurred after COVID-19 vaccination, and only the remaining 1% were for all other vaccines combined. So it's basically telling you there's a big problem with these COVID vaccines, that basically 99% of the deaths reported were as a result of the COVID vaccines, and the other 1% was for all other vaccines combined. And that shouldn't be a shock, because all the other vaccines combined will have went through the typical rigors of testing a vaccination, unlike these vaccinations that were rolled out in super fast time. And, of course, given these pharmaceutical companies a pass when it came to any liability for them. So you're now, you're seeing the fruits and the consequences of that. And there's a, over here in the UK, we've had it reported of 1,086 vaccination deaths here. And none of this really gets spoken about. And if it is flagged up, they actually use the opposite logic of what we were arguing for the COVID situation. And they say, oh, no, they died as a result of just with having the vaccine rather than of the vaccine, which is the opposite argument they make, because they attribute every single death within 28 days of testing positive for a COVID death. They put that down as a COVID test. So the majority of these deaths, and these figures actually, according to CDC and some Italian researchers, that they reckon that only between 6 and 12% people actually died directly of COVID. So the other 90% would be, as you know, people who dying with it rather than of COVID. But they flip it on its head when it comes to these vaccines, and they basically deny there's any link or any culpability from these deaths as a result of the vaccine, you know, and say no, it's just coincidence, people died of other things and they happen to have had the vaccine too, you know.
Imagine my shock.
Well, exactly.
And so we have what I've heard in a similar comparison for the last 30 years of all other vaccine deaths combined. We've already had more deaths from these DNA-altering COVID shots since they've been getting rolled out this year. I mean, so more deaths this year from these than 30 years combined of all other types of vaccines that are not DNA-altering and/or COVID shots. And then what was the stat you mentioned as far as the likelihood? If you could find the part in that article where it mentions the likelihood of dying from this shot.
Yeah. Well, it says here, let me see. Out of approximately 33 million people have received at least one of the vaccinations from either AstraZeneca or Pfizer. There have been 1,086 deaths. Therefore, the chance of dying from the vaccine is 1 in 30,386. This compares very badly with the chance of dying, with the chance of those under 50 dying from COVID itself, as the ONS, the Office for National Statistics, shows. And it goes on, for a healthy child under 10, the chance of dying of COVID-19 is 1 in 4 million. If for 20 to 30-year-olds, it's 1 in 576,000. 30 to 39-year-olds, 1 in 164,000, and 40 to 49-year-olds is 1 in 46,242. So if you're under 50, you've got a bigger chance of dying from a vaccine than you have from COVID-19. According to these stats.
And so 1 in 30,000 shot, a chance of dying from the shot, not just adverse reactions, but and that's just like in short term, because of course you could die in 6 months from now, a year from now, a couple of years from now, just have a shortened lifespan relative to your
age.
Other conditions that will develop in the body. Go ahead.
I think, but this is based on immediate death.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Only.
So and then yeah.
But so then 30,000, 1 in 30,000 chance of that, and. And then, but let's see, it looks like I'm doing the math right. If they're only reporting 1 out of 100 deaths out of 30,000, that would mean 1 in 3,000 people, possibly. I don't know if that sounds right.
Well, this is based on the 33 million who have been vaccinated, because they can work.
Right. Okay, well, if we could talk about the math more, and we have a caller. So anyone else, be right back.
Truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We're back, folks, beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting, here with my Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson. And Paul, I don't know what I was thinking for a second there. I guess while I shouldn't do math and talk at the same time. It's far worse than I thought. It's far worse. And this is why they're saying math is racist. You know, they don't want anyone competent in math. This is one of the prime examples of that. Because, okay, so they're saying, and this is just short-term death, okay? We haven't had 6 months or a year or anything, or 2 years to be able to say how many people are going to die then. Keep that in mind, folks, okay? And you could very much believe if depopulation was an agenda related to this, one of the agendas related to this, that they would want more people to have an extended lapse, so it's harder to pin it on the shot, and only a small amount of them actually die right away. So we don't know what the future holds, but from what you're saying, combined with the VAERS underreporting, I'm reading from other articles, it's very interesting when you do one simple calculation. I mean, you're saying even the short term, dying within, hours to a month or two of getting the shot is, they're saying in the article you're reading from here, is 1 in 30,000. But that is based on the Veyer's reporting, which in many articles I'm finding claiming only 1 out of 100 of the deaths actually getting reported from most experts' estimates. So, okay, only 1 out of 100
Well, bear in mind that this is to do with the UK only. And
sure,
the ONS figures, so...
Right. But it's a microcosm of the macrocosm, regardless. So, because I've heard over here as well the same estimates in both.
What facts?
My point is, just to do the math really quick, if 1 out of 100 only, so you can multiply the number of deaths by 100 is a fair estimate as far as being very realistic and conservative about the actual deaths already going on so far, 100 times more than what we're hearing reported. And then if you look at 30,000, according to their Veyer's reporting system, a chance, 1 in 30,000, you're going to die from it. It's a simple equation. You take 30,000, and then you have to have that divided by 100. You get only 300 as the result. Okay, 300 times 100 is 30,000. So you actually have a 1 in 300 chance of dying. 1 out of every 300 people who takes this shot in their arm will die within a month or less, give or take. And that's not including the long-term deaths. That's enough to, I mean, that is a lot more intimidating than 1 in 30,000, 1 in 300, Paul.
No, it certainly is, yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I just wanted to drive home. And I haven't heard anyone report on it in that way yet, putting those two pieces of information together with that simple equation. Dan in Washington. Hello, sir. You're on the air. Do we still have Dan with us? Ah, Dan dropped. Okay. Well, we'll see if he calls back in. Oh, by the way, I'd like to acknowledge the call from Chance in West Virginia last night on Robert Ravolt's broadcast. I was very impressed with it, and I just wanted to mention that to Chance if he's listening today, and I'd welcome a call from you on some of these same topics. I think very insightful. Dan, we have you back. Hello, Dan in Washington. Hey, what's on your mind, sir?
Yep. you know, I sent you that video of the doctor and you and Idaho talking about the statistics of mass and how to treat COVID and stuff. And I tried to send it to my friend, and it's already been taken off YouTube for terms of use violation. Have you seen that? It's interesting. How they're censoring. I mean, this guy was a certified, you know, medical professional giving testimony to the state of Idaho. And they said it was violating their terms of service. So
this video contains too much truth. This video contains too much truth and is very dangerous for you to watch. We're removing it.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's pretty scary. So, but I called about the money system when you were saying you didn't quite get the way I understood the Fed rate. When they say like zero interest rates, that's the rate that the Fed is charging the banks. So when they say like 0% interest, they're like, say Bank of America, they're just giving money to Bank of America, and then Bank of America turns.
I have heard those references to what they charge the banks. It's not so much directly related to the government when they talk about the raising rates. It's just relating to their relationship with the banks.
But that's how they distribute it, though.
Yeah, it was a
good distinction. That's how they distribute it. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir.
And the banks then turn around, and it's really ridiculous because some of these banks with the credit cards now are charging like 28% interest. So they get the money for free. They turn around and charge 28% interest.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah, they're not.
It's ridiculous.
Of course.
You know? And it doesn't always affect mortgage rates. I've looked into that. I mean, it would be nice if there was 0%. Interest rates, but I think low rates are actually pretty good for people, but they when they were using that to stimulate the economy instead of but they haven't put tariffs up. They did against China, but they just had another free trade with other countries. But they've played that game enough to where low rates stimulate the housing market and the economy, but the money mostly just flows out of America with trade deficits. And they've kind of hit the point where, you know, they can't get any lower. So that little tool is...
Yeah, and it creates bubbles. You know, it creates debt bubbles, and it creates a housing bubble. I mean, the housing market over here in the UK is a complete ridiculous situation where... And their solution for this is then to extend the periods of time where you can get a mortgage, and to the point where young people simply are going to be in debt for the rest of their lives to pay off them. They'll probably never be able to pay it off, you know?
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I was even in Denver, and I was walking around yesterday, and they had these townhouses that are basically apartments with a little garage, and it's set from the low 400s, you know? Yeah. From the low, so 450 grand, you can get a little apartment. It probably cost $20,000 at most to build, you know, with the wood and stuff. But, so that was one thing. Yeah, I don't know. The BRIC system, I remember hearing about this BRIC system with Brazil, India, and China, where instead of a debt system, it was more of just a trading goods country to country. And I was hoping that would compete with the Western system. What do you think about that? Because I would like a great reset where they just, you know, just delete the national debt and then...
But that is what's going to happen. But the consequences of that are going to be severe. Because then they'll bring in a digital currency.
That's what I don't get is why would it... If they just deleted the national debt and then... Well, see, I would confiscate, like, anything over $1 billion for the rich people, but keep the value of the money about the same and then join the BRIC system. That would be my great reset, base it on the gold and, hard currency.
Well, but I'd elect you.
I wonder... Go ahead.
I was just saying, I'd elect you. No, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I don't... Well, I think the BRICS countries would like to go on a gold standard. It's probably the Western nations that will try and prevent that because they want to bring in these sort of central banks' digital currencies, which will create a complete control system over your life where you'll be completely dependent on them. It'll be this social credit score thing, and if you watch certain videos or have certain political views or anything else, you're not going to get your rent check, you know, or whatever. And so it is an acceleration of sort of global control, you know?
Yeah.
Dan, but we have a load of other callers I'm noticing building up I'd like to try to get through. Maybe we could skip the last break there if we... But no, I mean, those are very good points. And it's the ability to lend to the banks that raising those rates. It's not quite the interest rate of the U.S. is... The interest that it's accruing.
Exactly. It's what they charge the bank to borrow money or give the bank to borrow money.
And so the Fed is directly lending to the banks. It's like kind of circumventing the U.S.
That's like what the Fed. Yeah, like what the Fed.
But then the U.S. gets stuck with the bill.
Bank of America.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
Appreciate it. Well, please call back next Monday. We can talk more about this, Dan, and during the week.
Okay. All right.
Yes, sir. Tom in Florida. You're on the air, sir.
Yeah. Yes. Good day, gentlemen. First off, I want to get to this, Richard. Over the weekend, the city of brotherly love, 16 shot. I think it's up to 5 dead now. In the city of brotherly love. We had a shooting here in Aventura Mall here in South Florida. Chicago, another was a 23 shot over the weekend. Yeah, and the BLM, BLM, BLM. It really matters. It really matters. You know, this whole thing has become a big, giant cabal run by Zog. Telling a narrative that white man, bad man, bad man, white man, orange man. This is disgraceful and absolutely disgusting. Before I go to COVID-19, I want to stay on this subject. BLM.
All right, but just Antifa, make it kind of quick, Tom. I mean, we have like 3 other callers backed up behind you, sir.
Well, I will make it quick, Richard. Give me a second.
Yes, sir.
And the immigration situation in California is off the charts, okay? But here's what I want to tell you. I went to the bowling alley the other day, Richard. Okay? And let me tell you this. There's hundreds of people. There are 60 lanes in the bowling alley. Okay? Everybody was taking their mask off, laying their mask on the bowling tables, on the score tables. Little kids didn't have masks. and all these adults in there bowling. So what the hell are these masks doing? What do they do with the mask after they take them off and they start bowling, Richard? What right. a Fauci. This Fauci is a freak show who should have been arrested. He's a no-good, filthy criminal. He's Filthy Fauci. That's his new name with me. Filthy.
Hey, what about your
Fauci.
Neck of the woods there in Florida? Are many people taking the shot in your neighborhood?
Not really, no. You got some good. That are they're getting scared. They're going panicking, these people. But a lot of people don't want to take the shot, Richard. But the point of the matter is, before they even take a shot, nobody's. What are you going to do with all these masks they're taking off, Richard? Everybody going to be all these restaurants are open here in Florida. No, they're taking the mask off. You got to open, take the mask off, eat your food, put it in your mouth. So when they lay the mask on the counter, where's all the germs going, Richard? This is a Absolutely. Scam. Like they, and where was the Hong Kong flu ever been mentioned? Nobody yes, wore a mask in 1969.
Well, listen, Tom, I want to get to the other callers here, sir, but you have great points. Please call back more during the week, all right? Let's actually go to – oh, we have Chance in West Virginia. Hey, your ears must be burning. Hello, Chance. What's on your mind, sir? Well, do we still have Chance on the line?
Doesn't sound like it.
Hello.
Hello, oh, he Chance. Hey, how you doing, sir?
Yes, how are you, Richard?
Yeah, I would love to hear you mention to my audience some of what you mentioned on Robert's show last night, sir. It was great points.
Well, see, let me tell you, Richard, I don't have patience anymore for the stupidity of a lot of people because I find it dangerous, even the comments, because what's going on is so diabolical and well-planned for a long time. These people are committed to their agenda. They have so much invested, nobody's going to have a change of heart and say, okay, we're going to stop this. We're going to go for broke. So that's why when some of these hosts make these asinine comments like that, I can't understand it. It seems like people can't or won't face this diabolical evil.
Right, like you were talking about Bill and Melinda getting a divorce. The news of that.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. This Melinda, whatever it is a Satanist. I mean, they don't have a change of heart. They don't wake up one day and say, well, today I care about humanity. It just doesn't work that way. And for people to make these comments, it seems to me like they just can't face what they're up against, the diabolical evil. They don't want to see how wicked it is. And meanwhile, we see people dropping dead and getting deathly ill. That should tell you all you need to know. This has been planned a long time, and I guess the average person's mind can't fathom the vast wickedness of this all. And they make these comments. I don't know if it's to soothe their feelings or to comfort themselves. I don't know. This is why I made that comment. Do you see what I'm saying, Richard?
Yes. No, absolutely. Paul, respond, please.
Yeah, well, we've discussed a lot of that on the program, haven't we, just about the psychology of people, you know, who always think governments have your, you know, are well-intentioned and only have your best interest at heart. And some people just cannot, I think. And I think the more they've been brought up as a product of the institutions, you know, be it at university or at certain jobs or whatever else, there's a certain amount of human pride plays into it as well, because they'll dismiss conspiracy theorists. And, you know, even in the church, where you would expect them to be a little bit more sagacious, let's say, They don't get a lot of this stuff. And you would think, well, do you think evil disappeared somewhere, in the last 2,000 years? Because go and read the Old Testament.
Yeah.
They're up to their neck. They're up to their neck in Satan worship and worshiping Moloch and burning babies to Moloch. And it's as if they think that somehow evil just suddenly disappeared somewhere along the line. And it's just, I just find it amazing. You know, I've spoken to so many people, including Christians, who look at you like you've got two heads when you should suggest, just as Chance you say, the word diabolical evil at work.
Well, those people, Paul, I think are not meant to wake up. Their eyes are not meant to be open for some reason. That's how I look at it now. Because let me tell you, when I hear people make these QAnon comments and Trump's going to come back, and then Melinda had a change of heart, I listen to all this crap and I say, what is with these people? There's no way you're going to take this country back unless you do it yourself. There's nobody going to come to you. You pray to God and you pass the ammunition. I mean, this is the only way we're going to get this country back, it appears to me.
Yes, sir. The scriptures talk a lot about this, because some people don't love the truth, and there's that scripture in Thessalonians where it says, because they had not a love of the truth, I will send them strong delusion. God has a judgment on these people, and it says, if you don't love the truth, then I'm going to send you a delusion so that you'll believe a lie and be condemned. And it's not God's not sending them a lie or sending them a delusion, for his own use.
Yes, sir. The way I look at it, Paul, is this. If one, the harsh realities of the truth, then they're not going to make a change. That's all.
That's true.
That's the bottom line. When you keep putting your hope in another man to come to your rescue, I mean, you're set up to be let down. When you think a Satanist has a change of heart one morning and says, well, I disagree with the depopulation plan. I'm telling you the truth. I can't tolerate that nonsense talk because I don't know. It's couched in apathy, and I hate apathetic people. And you have to get up off your ass and do something about this. The situation is so dire. People are dropping dead in front of your eyes now. I can't understand. What does it take? This is why, Richard, I get angry when people make these comments, like I told you. I don't care who they are. When they make comments like that, I get so angry. I says, wow. The stupidity just amazes me. It just amazes me. Well, gentlemen, that's why I had to call you back, Richard. I heard you mention my name. All right, now, gentlemen, thank you for letting me speak, and God bless both of you now.
All right, look
too.
Forward.
You too, Sean.
Look forward to hearing from you more often, Chance. Don't be a stranger, sir. All right, let's go to James in Vancouver. You're on the air, sir.
Yes, hello. Bill and Melinda reconciled already? Did I get that right?
There's just some speculation on why the timing, why now. Something, it could be partially to hide some of his fortune, if there's something, some danger to it, fallout from these shots comes down the pike. I remember seeing her snickering with him when they're talking about the next wave is really going to get people's attention. And when you hear, you can almost tell that it was due to their plans for depopulation. I have to side with Chance. I can't imagine she'd have a change of heart on that. There's plenty of other reasons why they might get divorced, which would have nothing to do with her morality. But go ahead, please, sir.
Well, it could be to elicit sympathy from the general public, you see. It's another psyop, another counter-intel operation.
Possibly. Good point.
This is all, there's been so many counter-intel ops. You mentioned a minute ago, like, doing mathematics is racist and all this kind of thing. I've never seen so much propaganda. It reminds me of something that would happen in a communist country back in the 1950s. And this is what they're throwing at everybody, you see. It's all propaganda. And I just wanted to say that it's like we're going into a dark age right now. And people in Europe have had this experience much more here than in North America. The gentleman you have on is from Ireland, am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the history of Ireland in there and between Britain and all that is really dark, you see. So the countries in Europe have had this for hundreds of years, going back 1,000 or more years. They've seen this kind of thing before, you see.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are my comments.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, yeah. I have spoken to Richard about that as well, yeah. Haven't I, Richard? Sort of.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
thank you.
North America. This is, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Please call.
Well, you see,
please call more often. Oh, go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to say, because you know, America is a young nation. You see, to some extent, it's been disconnected from its. You know, from its history and its heritage, which, you know, for the most part, particularly the founders of it were European, and later the, you know, the Italians came and the Irish came. And there has been a bit of a disconnection there where some of that sort of historical memory has been lost, including, by the way, about Jews and about the history of Jews, because, you know, they have a history here. They've been expelled at least once from every European country. So every European country must be extremely anti-Semitic, racist, if you were to apply that to today's narrative. But of course, it's the same crowd today who have taken the unprecedented control of our media, which are pumping out this nonsense to try and, you know, rewrite history as well as part of it, again, for their own interests.
Well, thank you, James. Yeah, but again, yeah, love to hear from you more. Great call. Nancy in Ohio, our last caller. Nancy, hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Richard. Thank you for taking my call. I heard you put the call out for Chance to call in, and I was hoping to get in before he did, but I love to listen to what Chance has to say. He has some good words. I totally agree, and I know the show that he was talking about, the head-on show, that put that information out there that Melinda Gates had a change of heart, possibly, and that's what this was about. And there's two people in this house that were laughing up a storm because that was such an asinine comment. And Satanists don't change their spots. Whatever this is about, it's not for our benefit, not for a good benefit. We have a theory. If there's one person out there that fights this, then there's others. And for every one person, there's 100 that are fighting it. So Chance, there's 300 people who are agreeing with what you said. 300. This is, I'm 80. I'm 80, and I'm struggling to keep my act together here. But I have friends that I graduated high school with that are taking this shot, and they are so happy with themselves that they got it, and nobody in the group was affected by it. And I'm going, where are their brains? Where are their brains?
Well, they've been washed is where their brains are.
Well, thank you so much.
I can't.
For your call. Good points, Nancy, but we're all out of time, ma'am. Please call again, though.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you, Nancy.
And thank you, Paul. I look forward to having you back next Monday, sir.
Thank you, Richard.
All right, folks, please support RBN, and we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.